So I was talking to one of my students about surfing. "Don't you worry about sharks?" I asked. "Sure," he said. "I think about sharks every time I go out there." He pondered a minute. "You know, I think I'd rather have a shark go for my left leg than my right. That way, I could still have my back leg for balance." "You know, these surfer guys are different," I'm thinking. "Like, what are you gonna say to a shark if he bites you on the back leg? Wrong leg, asshole? I mean, I hate to admit this, but the main reason I don't take up surfing is because I'm absolutely sure that if a shark goes after me, he's gonna bite me right in the balls." I started taking my Charlie seriously after this backyard incident with our family dog, Prancer. My dad had put an abundance of fertilizer in our backyard, in the rhododendrons where our little whippet loved to lie. I came home from high school one Monday afternoon to find Prancer lying in the middle of the lawn with his rear legs splayed out. His bird's eggs were bright red. Prancer laid down on the fertilizer, burned his spunk holders, and licked them red raw. I ran into the house and called my dad, and I remember exactly what my dad said when he came in up to the backyard. "Jesus Christ, Dick," he said. We carried the poor dog out to the car, lay him upside down in the back seat, and drove him to the animal clinic. Neither one of us said anything on the drive. We stopped at this big intersection, and my dad turned to me and said, "God, Dick, my left nut hurts like hell. How's yours?" When we got to the animal clinic, we firemen carried the dog past the check-in people and the horrified pet owners in the waiting room. I had to rub salve on his swingers every morning and night for the next 3 weeks. But I do remember him looking up at me every time with these lovely, pained brown eyes. I was beginning to like it, too, I'll tell you that. Well, that same year in high school, I witnessed another Cajones classic. We had just showered after fourth period PE, and my best buddy Marsh and I were across the aisle from Randy Espinosa and Marty Reininger. Randy was sitting on the bench in front of the lockers, naked, elbows on his knees, his onions hanging inertly over the bench. Reininger, who was always kind of a wise ass, picked up a wet towel, stem wound it into an exquisite rat tail, walked over in front of Randy and said, "Hey, wake up, Espinosa." Reininger snapped off a shot that hooked directly underneath Randy's nards. The resounding crack sounded like a gunshot. Randy fell half forward, grabbed his jewels, and let up the wail of a dying animal. He sucked in another breath and exhaled this long, soundless wheeze. He stayed there, suspended, eyes bulging, his face contorting into different hues, like those stereo speaker systems you found at discount stores in the 70s. He was stooped, shoulders forward, holding his kanakas, and walked past us like a sacrifice in a prehistoric religious ritual. He knocked tentatively on the door of the PE office. Mr. Vieira, 6'4", 250-pound football coach, jerked the door open. Randy pointed down at his clangers, shuffled past Vieira, and collapsed into a chair. Vieira closed the door behind him. A moment later, the door whisked open. "Reininger," Vieira yelled, "get your ass in here." Well, the Beecham's pills took another theme recently when my buddy told me about getting his vasectomy. While performing the procedure, the doctor carried on this monologue about his big game hunting exploits in Africa. He pointed to one of the framed photos hanging on the wall of the room. "Look at that water buffalo," he said. "Bagged that baby with my Weatherby Magnum just last year." A puff of smoke shot in the air and my buddy had his lineage consigned to the evolutionary scrap heap. "Just wear this little sling for a couple days. Keep your ghoulies from putting too much pressure on the incision." 2 weeks later, my friend had come back in to make sure the operation was a success. And this big, heavy-set nurse, who looked like one of those East German shot putters from the 70s, told him to give her a sample. Well, after my friend enabled the sample, the nurse snapped it away from him. "Wait here," she said. A couple of minutes later, she came back. "Got them all," she said. "Won't need to wear that sling no more." and my friend slunk out the door. She stuck her head out the hall and said, "Next!" Well, I'd made some adjustments. I'm not going to let some great white hunter doctor vaporize my ancestry. And after we got our yellow lab puppy, we don't use fertilizer in the backyard. One canine Christ figure is enough. And I always sit to the rear of the bench in locker rooms. And I still might try surfing if I can wear a rust-proof chastity belt. Thank you very much for coming. Real pleasure to work with this great trio. So let's hear it for our fantastic drummer, Mr. Mike LeBole. And our swinging bassist, Jeff Doherty. And composer, arranger, keyboardist extraordinaire, Tim Randall. Thanks to Italian Auction and Six Rivers Brewery for their generosity and donating 50% of the sales to St. Jude Hospital. Thanks to Craig Reardon, publisher of Fire Publishing. Thanks to Craig's students. Thanks to Jesse Jonathan for doing the sound. Michael Richards for doing the video. Thanks to all of you for coming here. It was my privilege to be here with you on my birthday. And drive safely. Have a great night, everybody.